We all know that John Tortorella has a reputation for being a quote-unquote hard ass, so when we saw this headline of Tortorella scratching his captain, it shouldn't be a big surprise to all of us. But nevertheless, it has generated a lot of conversation in Philadelphia and where this organization is headed or could go. We talk about all that in episode 405 of the Lace 'Em Up Podcast, which starts right now.
And now, it's time to lace them up. Here's Brett and Steve.
And welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Steve Ellsworth.
I'm Brett Chebuff.
Last year it was Kevin Hayes. This year, Sean Couturier scratched by John Tortorella, the team captain of the Philadelphia Flyers. And not surprised, Brett, everyone was talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has more to do with the fact that there's nothing else going on. I mean, other than the playoff race stuff, but like...
Which the Flyers are involved in.
Which the Flyers are involved in, to be fair. But I think a part of it is it's just like, oh, okay, this is interesting. I mean, you know, I think the funny thing is that, like you were saying, it's like, yeah, the Flyers are in the playoffs. They, I think before the season, we were just thinking like, oh, yeah, this will just be another year for the Flyers to rebuild. And they, you know, they weren't that good last year and all that stuff. So it's like, it seems like the same stuff is going to continue. Not to mention the fact that Carter Hart had that thing happened to him, but yeah, that sexual, he turned out to be one of the people in that 2018 Team Canada team, which was unexpected.
Allegedly, until proven innocent. Yeah. Facing very serious charges, yeah. And he's basically out indefinitely for the next year or two or however long it takes.
So then once that happened, you're like, okay, so they don't have their goalie. That means that they're out of the playoffs, and I guess that technically they could still be out. They haven't clinched a playoff spot yet, but they're still in the mix, the Flyers. They are in third in the Metro. They have 81 points. The next closest team to them is the Washington Capitals with 79 points. But even still, like, even if Washington catches them, they could still get a wild card spot. So it's not out of the question there. But yeah, in any case, it's like, it's interesting too with, like, even with all that stuff, you know, the whole Cutter Gauthier saga, even with all that stuff, it still felt like, oh, this is a different Torts, and like he's definitely gonna get some Jack Adams votes. I wouldn't even be surprised if he ends up winning it. But yeah, it did feel like, you know, throughout, before this year, it did felt like, oh, Torts was widely regarded as this guy who is a bit of a hard ass and not a player's coach. That's the understatement of the year, where guys like Brandon Dubinsky have it out for him, and there were reports last year that you were saying, like, Kevin Hayes had some issues with John Tortorella. You know, there's a bunch of other players in the mix that I'm blanking on already, from his time in Tampa, from his time in Columbus, from his time in even Vancouver, that he's well regarded as knowing that he's not, he doesn't always get along with a lot of his players. So, in any case, Sean Couturier, to his credit, he was injured all of last year, but he does have 36 points in 66 games, and you know, he really did start off strong. We should note though that in the last like 9-ish games, he only had like 1 point, That's still true. In his last, like, in the month of March, let's just say, so he's played roughly like 10 games here, in the month of March. He's only had one assist. However, if you look at his time on ice, it's like 14 minutes a game, 13 minutes a game, 12 minutes a game. So like when I heard you these stats about like, oh yeah, he had Tortorella had reason to bench Sean Couturier when he's it's like, yeah, no duh, he's benching him, scratching him because he doesn't play him. He's been on the fourth line and the third line when he has been playing, but yeah, for the most part, he's kind of in the doghouse of Torts that has been so elusive. This, like, so as I just mentioned, Sean Couturier had injuries. He hasn't been as good as he was, back in his prime, back when he won the Selke Award and all that stuff. But I do think that he does deserve some credit because he like at the start of the year, he was a big reason why the Flyers are even in a playoff spot. Not to mention the fact that Sean Couturier was named captain about a month ago. So it's kind of a bigger deal because it's like, maybe Tortorella, what it wasn't fully this wasn't fully towards his decision to name him captain, but it does seem like there is something, maybe I would imagine towards was involved in that process. So then he starts scratching him. So now it gets to the point where, I'm looking at their roster here. Travis Konecny has 61 points for them. Joel Farabee and Owen Tippett are breaking out. They both have, I mean, I guess relatively breaking out. Farabee has 49 points in 72 games, and Owen Tippett has 47 points in 68 games. So you look down this roster, you're like, okay, yeah, there's a couple guys who are doing well, but Travis Sanheim, Morgan Frost, Tyson Forrester, every now and then, even like guys like Ryan Poehling, I've seen him like step it up lately. Scott Laudon has been kind of has basically taken over from Sean Couturier in terms of like being that first line center. So there's that. But yeah, it's weird because it's on the one hand, it's like, all right, it doesn't like this is kind of working because in the two games that Couturier was benched, they did end up going 1-1. They beat Toronto, but they lost to Carolina. And then Couturier comes into the lineup against Boston. They do beat Boston on Saturday. They do lose to Florida, but Couturier did play in both those games. Like if you scratch him once, then it's like, okay, you're teaching him a lesson that no one's above the law type of thing. But this has been going on for a while if you're putting him on the bottom six, because that's sending a message and all that stuff. And maybe there is something that we don't know right now. Maybe like Couturier is having issues with John Tortorella and all that stuff. But that's a bigger problem if your captain is having an issue with your coach. So I'm not, maybe that there's that, but I don't know. I feel like scratch is one thing. It's like, okay, that's sending a message. If you scratch him twice, then it's like you're kind of being an asshole. So I think I'm like especially when it's like your captain. The captain's supposed to be the guy who's, who's kind of the messenger of both the player and the management and coaches and all that stuff. And if he's unhappy, then the team is unhappy, kind of guy. And the fact that I feel like it wouldn't be a big deal if he wasn't the captain, because it's like, okay, Torts just doesn't get along with Couturier. But then, Couturier said something in the presser saying that he was kind of unhappy, but he felt like he was working hard and all that stuff. And then now Torts made it into a thing, and all the media wants out of Torts is a response about why he's scratching Couturier. So I don't know. It's a strange situation. I feel like Torts did go a little too far, though.
I mean, I feel like everyone thinks that Torts goes too far whenever he does this.
Right.
Which is why, to make it seem like probably he's not just singling out his captain. While scratching Couturier, he also scratched Denis Gurianov and Cam Atkinson and Mark Stahl. Mark Stahl and Cam Atkinson, by the way, players he coached in other markets.
Yeah,
So.
but that's not as big of a deal, because it's not like Gurianov or any, Mark Stahl or Cam Atkinson were having great seasons to begin with. Like, Sean Couturier did go out, he did have a good season to start off the year.
Yeah, true, but I think it's more so sending a message to his younger players. He's trying to make it a message of, I'm scratching these guys because they're not playing good enough. So you better believe if you're not playing good enough, I'm doing the same to you.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I'm scratching your captain. Like,
I guess
which
so.
headline sends a better message, if a better message can be sent here? I think you would rather be a message about the veterans who aren't playing well, as opposed to your captain is shit and I'm holding him accountable.
Right.
Even though he's only been the captain for like 31 days when this happened. The other thing I wanted to mention, and I think I sent this to you, Brett, it was an episode of John Scott's podcast. I think it's Dropping the Gloves or what it's called. But he had an interesting in-depth conversation because he played for John Tortorella briefly, but he played for John Tortorella. So he has an idea of how John Tortorella coaches and the method to his madness a little bit. But just, all around, how this kind of situation can affect a player's psyche. And he was basically talking about the Philadelphia Flyers brass naming a captain and how heading into the season, John Tortorella was pretty dead set. Hey, we're not having a captain this year. And then magically, oh, we have a captain now. Okay, well, now I got to deal with this now.
Right.
And I feel like in that kind of sense, it might be, I don't want to say a bit of an ego trip, but just a message from John Tortorella saying, hey, the brass might have given you the captaincy and the players might trust you to lead, but I want to see if I put you through a ringer how you're going to react.
Right.
And heading into the playoffs, when you look at the Flyers' poor performances, usually when things aren't going well, the captain is going to be taking, the brunt of the heat. And heading into the playoffs, you look at the type of playoff matchup that the Flyers are going to have, assuming they maintain control of third in the Metropolitan Division, which when you look at the other mid-tier records in that division, I think it's safe to assume that Philly could hold on to that spot. Guess what they're going to get? They're going to get either the New York Rangers, who have 98 points, that's 17 more points than Philadelphia, or the Carolina Hurricanes, who just got Jake Gensel and Evgeny Kuznetsov, and are 1 point behind those New York Rangers. So guess what? They're 16 points ahead of you. So one of those two teams is probably going to manhandle the crap out of you if you're not ready to go.
Yeah.
So now he's trying to get his team that, in a nutshell, over the past 10 games, hasn't played good enough, like Couturier. He's trying to get them on board and he's trying to get his captain on board in game shape. And if he doesn't feel like it's there, the time to send a message is now, not like a week and a half before the playoffs.
Yeah.
So Tortorella is trying to push all the buttons to kind of just wake his team up. And I think this is part of it. But, you know, it's to the media, and I don't blame him for thinking this, to the fans either. I don't blame him for thinking this either. This is the second straight year where he is scratching his captain. What the hell is he doing? Especially right. when you're considering that Sean Couturier has gone through hell and back just to get back here.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't ask for the captaincy a month and a half ago. He was given the captaincy because the front brass trusted him, and rightfully so. I think you can trust Sean Couturier to lead a hockey club.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, Sean Couturier is 31 years old today. He's been getting paid $7.75 million to play hockey for the next 6 years and a bit beyond that. I think it's 5 years after this one's played. It might be six. Either way, it's a long time. Probably that contract will outlast Tortorella in Philadelphia, if I had to guess.
Yep.
But you also have guys like Travis Konecny entering the prime of their careers. He's 27. After next season, he's a UFA. You want to keep him on board, obviously. You know, there's heart and soul guys like Scott Laughton, who have 2 years left on their contract after this year. Nicholas Deslauriers, who's the epitome of a Flyer. You have a young guy like Owen Tippett that you just extended as well. Travis Sanheim, who you've just extended as well. You've got a lot of other guys that you want to keep motivated and on your side. The more this stuff happens, I'm sure for any player, it can be that point where it gets to a turnoff and it goes, I don't want to be here anymore.
Right.
I don't like this drama. I don't want to deal with this every year. So it could totally backfire and blow up in Philadelphia's face if Tortorella doesn't manage this. But Tortorella, as we know, has been in the game long enough to know where the line is and where it shouldn't be crossed, at least in his mind. If that line has moved and it's moved to his disadvantage, well, then that's obviously going to spell trouble for him and for the Flyers at large.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is kind of what I remember there was a story about, if we're going to move to football here for a second here, Tom Brady, I forget exactly when it happened, but it was during one of the Super Bowl runs or something like that. But like during one of the weeks, like Brady made a mistake or something in practice or whatever. And Belichick made it a point to call out Brady whenever he made a mistake in a game, in a practice or whatnot. It was in some doc. I think it was in the Brady 6 ESPN documentary. And it was always like this. And everyone in the team kind of used that, being like, okay, well, if Belichick is going after Tom Brady, the guy that, you know, the leader, the quarterback, the guy who's like Mr. Perfect, whatever, then they have to get their shit together, kind of thing. Yep. And I imagine it's a similar thing here. However, the only difference here is Tom Brady still played. he still was starting, you know, he's still like, yeah, it is a sign that, like, yeah, no one's perfect and all that stuff, but and you know, no one's above the law, and it is a very, like, this move is very Belichickian move out of torts here. But at the same time, and I don't know if I necessarily buy what John Scott was saying, because I feel like the coach has to be involved with the captaincy, in choosing a captaincy. I don't think, like, he was like 100% not on board of not assigning a captain. I don't know if I necessarily buy that. Of course, John Scott might know some people, but I don't know if I can 100% trust what he's saying there.
Well, see, the thing is, with Brady Tkachuk being named captain of the Ottawa Senators, I mean, obviously DJ Smith, the head coach at the time, is going to be consulted.
Yeah.
But ultimately, who's going to make the decision?
The coach. Here,
Dorian, who is the GM at the time. Above all, it's Eugene Melnyk at the time, the owner of the Sens.
Yeah, like, but it's the coach.
It's a situation that he's got to be comfortable with as well. But my point is, if the ownership wants a captain,
yeah, but
do you think they give a shit at what the coach says?
Yes, of course they do. He's their coach. if
maybe
they,
it's not as you think you do. I'm just saying.
If they don't care what the coach says, then they should fire him.
Yeah. Well, okay. Maybe they will after the year.
Well, yeah, that's what they should. But like, that's like, of course the coach and the GM, it should. My point being is it should be a group effort for the GM, the coach, and maybe the player to assign a captain. It shouldn't just be the management. So that's why I don't buy it, because like you're saying, for Brady Tkachuk, you could say this for any team, literally.
Could be a point where it's just like, okay, we're naming a captain. Who should it be?
Yeah.
But John Torrell's just been like, well, I didn't want to have this discussion this year, but now that we're talking about it, Sean Couturier.
Right.
So maybe he would have said Sean Couturier, but he just stopped at the fact, like, really, we're doing this now? After I said, Dad said we're not having a captain this year?
Yeah.
But Sean Couturier.
Right, yeah, maybe. But I guess my point is then it's just a sign that Tortorella shouldn't be involved with the Flyers.
I think it's a sign that there's a bit of division there somewhere. Yeah,
I guess maybe that. I guess that's fair. But I guess it's like John Scott was making it seem, from what you're saying, is that it's making it seem like Torts just wasn't involved and wasn't having it. But I would imagine that Torts was a little bit involved with.
Yeah, maybe not completely blind, but yeah.
And all that stuff. So I guess that brings us to the next question of where do we see Torts' future with the Flyers and what about Couturier? I think we're aligned with that, because I mean Couturier does have a long-term contract. He's still with the team. So I imagine they'll do that, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess if the Flyers keep on winning and are in a playoff spot, it's kind of hard to justify firing John Tortorella. He did have a long term job in Columbus. But he was still an asshole during that time, and he lost the room ultimately in Columbus. He definitely lost the room in Vancouver. He didn't even have the room in Vancouver. And then in Tampa, it was a similar thing. He did win a cup, but then he... there was like that story about like Vinny LeCavier being angry about being benched and whatnot. That's another example of this has happened to him, to Tortorella before. The Rangers.
Yeah, Brad Richards, who was McKevley's teammate, was talking about that on a podcast appearance of some sort, too.
The Rangers is another example where, he kind of has a low short shelf life as well in New York.
Dubinsky.
Yeah, Dubinsky. You mentioned Brad Richards as well.
Dubinsky also called out Tortorella when this was happening too.
Yep. And so he kind of it's just all the teams that he's coached for it's always been like, you do well at the start, and then slowly but surely it blows up and every player hates him basically. Even I remember that like Patrick Laine was benched when he got traded to Columbus, now and then I'm remembering that. So there was something like that, or that was a big deal there. I imagine that, well, if the Flyers are out of the playoffs, I think Torts is out. But like the only reason why this is like working and even having some attention is the Flyers are in the playoff spot and all that stuff. So I imagine Tortorella is safe until they don't make the playoffs.
Or a
better coach becomes available, that's true.
Like, I don't know, Rod Brind'Amour.
yeah, possibly. So yeah, that's the other thing. So I think it's a tricky situation there. For Couturier, I know he did call out that, like, he felt like he shouldn't be healthy scratched. But, like, it's just strange that he's, like, even when he is playing, he's on the fourth line and the third line. And I know that he came back from injury and all that stuff. But, and maybe this has more to do with the fact that, like, they're just managing his health or something like that. Maybe that's a possibility. But just because it's, like, it's, you know, he did miss, like, a full year last year. And he did, you know, he did come back, and he was pretty good at the start, to the point where I was seeing, like, halfway through the year that Sean Couturier was getting some, like, sulky votes, during that time, and maybe that has more to do with just reputation and whatnot, but, Couturier, and he was on the score sheet every now and then, so, he has been better, but it's also, you know, it's just strange. It's like, if you're going to play Sean Couturier, not to knock Ryan Poehling and Scott Laudon, they have been good at times, but, like, Sean Couturier is better than both those guys. Same with Morgan Frost. Morgan Frost has potential to be better than Sean Couturier eventually, but he's not there yet. So it is strange that, like, even when he is playing, he's just on the fourth line, and I feel like that's a bad use of Sean Couturier. And then, as you alluded to, he does have a long-term contract. It doesn't necessarily make sense, because I don't think any team to trade him, because, one, he's your captain. Secondly, it's like, I don't know who would want him if the Flyers are treating him like garbage. It's like, oh, okay, then you're not going to get a ton of stuff if you continuously put him on the third and fourth line. So if they were to trade him, I don't think it would work either. I mean, I guess at the same time, maybe Couturier just does have to buy into John Tortorella's system. Maybe there does seem to be some friction there, we'll see if it's a tricky situation there.
It's definitely a tough one to navigate, but at the same time, the whole reason they got John Tortorella in this position is to get the team to work hard, play Flyer style hockey, and have a united locker room. And I feel like Tortorella is good at getting the bad habits, weeding the bad habits out of players. Yes, it comes at a cost after a while because the whole team hates him. But before that, the team as a whole, within the first couple of seasons, every single time, plays like a unified machine. That's a pain in the ass to play against. Right. And without fail, that has worked in a lot of different markets. It worked in Tampa Bay. It worked when he went to the Rangers. We're not counting the Canucks because he was only there for a year. He didn't really have a chance to do much of anything. So everyone mocks his time in Vancouver. But then he goes to a place like Columbus, where you look at where Columbus is right now. Maybe if we have a bit of time in the rapid fire, I'll talk about what happened with David Juracek this weekend. But they're a mess right now.
Yep.
And they were a mess before Tortorella got there. And Tortorella got them playing some of the best hockey that franchise has ever seen. And heading into Philadelphia, we have seen glimpses of this Flyers team doing what the teams that Tortorella had previously coached had done before. A unified group that's a pain in the ass to play against and plays for each other. This is just, you know, potentially, hopefully, just another bump in the road to get to where they need to go. And the danger with these approaches by Tortorella is what happens if the guys that he's hoping to have that type of response, the response he's looking for, What if that breaks them? And in turn, that gets him fired. There's right. always, he runs that risk every time he does this. But every single time, the players have responded like he hoped they would.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the danger with this Flyers group, is maybe they're not going to have the type of response that Tortorella envisioned. The good news is, I know it was to the detriment of your Bruins, Brett, but the Flyers did win a big game against the Bruins earlier this weekend. And I definitely think for their playoff aspirations, that's huge, because they are going to be going up against, you know, a lot of teams that are,
yep.
are still think they have an outside chance of making the playoffs. They got the Rangers tomorrow. That's a big game. Montreal, they should be able to win that game. They should be able to beat Chicago as well. You got the Islanders on April 1st. Boom, big game. You got a game against the Sabres, who are kind of sort of trying to make a run. That's a big game too. They have a game against the Blue Jackets. They got to win that. Another game against the Montreal Canadiens. You got to win that. Big game against the Rangers. Big game against the Devils. Big game against the Capitals, who currently own the final wildcard spot and are somehow in the playoff race still. That's their final game of the year, and it's in Philly. So there are a lot of big games that I would label must-win games in front of games where you should, without a shadow of a doubt, hands tied behind your back with your eyes closed, you should get 2 of 2 points. So the timing is right there for Philadelphia to go on a heater to end the year and solidify their spot and be a better unit. And I think what John Tortorella is trying to do is, you know, get them ready for those games so that they can't falter. Because either way, if they make the playoffs, they're going to be going up, like I said, either the Rangers or the Hurricanes. But what if it happens if they fall to a wild card spot?
Right.
Then they're probably going to get a team like Florida or Boston, and they're a tough out too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, I think for now, Tortorella's like, you know, his job is safe just because they are in the playoff hunt and all that stuff, and they're far exceeding expectations and all that stuff.
They also have a lot of injuries too. They don't have Drysdale. They don't have Sealer at the moment. True. They don't have Ristolainen. And God knows if Ryan Ellis will ever play again. He probably will.
Right, right. But I will say Owen Tippett, he's impressed me so far. Joel Farabee, we haven't even talked about Joel Farabee.
Mm-hmm.
He's been he's impressed me as well. So they have a couple of good guys. I mean, yeah, we mentioned Konechny. I was watching that game when they played Boston. It's like, it felt like Konechny was always on the ice, always had the puck and all that stuff. So it's just like, yeah, he's really good too. So yeah, they have a lot of good players on their team. It's just, we'll see.
I'm also very curious. And before we go to, the next topic or the next sub question to this topic, I'm very curious how much of Tortorella's future isn't linked to Sean Couturier. What if there's this possibility that Matvei Michkov is ready to hop over to the NHL?
Hmm.
And he's just like, yeah, I can't wait to play for your team. I fucking hate your coach. I want him gone.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm very curious how the Michkov experiment is going to play into that factor. I think ultimately that will decide Tortorella's fate, is if Michkov wants Tortorella as his coach. Because I think they have a lot of hype around him.
Well, they do, but that,
especially after Cutter Gauthier just left.
Yeah, that's true. I do remember, though, during the draft year or something that Danny Briere did mention when they did draft him that, like, in the meeting that Michkov said that he wanted to be a Flyer. And even Briere was surprised about that because it's like, wait, what?
Well, Cutter Gauthier also said the same thing, and look where he is now.
No, because that's different. Because for Michkov, there was this whole KHL thing, and he signed this extension for Sochi, so whoever was drafting Michkov at the draft knew that they were going to have to wait 3 years in order to do that. So they wanted, whoever was going to do that, they knew that they had to wait. And some teams couldn't do that. So maybe that's why Anaheim didn't do it, or that's why Columbus didn't do it, because they want a player that can play now. And also Fantilli and Leo Carlson are on that same level. Montreal, I don't know why Montreal didn't do it. But in any case, Mitch Goff did say, or did tell Briere, that he wanted to be a Flyer. And that's different than Cutter Gauthier, because he never expressed an interest to being a Flyer before he was on the Flyers. So he has no allegiance to that. Whereas for Mitch Goff, he's just like, hey, I want to be on the Flyers. And that's like a sign to Briere, because it's like, okay, like if we're going to wait 3 years to draft this guy and he's as good as they all say he's going to be, then it's worth it. So I only say that because it's you know, Mitch, like Tortorella was the coach at that time. The Flyers were even terrible last year. So from that standpoint, it's like, okay, maybe Mitch Goff does like a Torts kind of guy or coach, or he's open to having that kind of coach in his system. However, if Mitch Goff is waiting 3 years in order to be in the NHL again, I don't think Torts is going to be the Flyers coach in 3 years. So
yeah,
I don't think that's going to happen.
I think that's, but like if Tortorella wants to stay beyond the 4 years he's signed to coach the team,
yeah,
I think that could get in the way, because ultimately, if you're the Philadelphia Flyers, yes, you've got all these prospects. Yes, you have a gaping hole in net that you're going to have to fill. But, I mean, you could probably trade for a caliber goaltender to fill that spot for the time being.
Sure.
All of their future, in my opinion, hinges on Matvei Michkov, if he still wants to be a Flyer in a couple of years, and how good he is. And they have pieces. They have a team that I think really rallies around each other. But if that team as a whole is fractured, that could scare Michkov away in a couple of years. And that's where you've really got to manage the PR stuff, because the last thing you want to do is to watch this guy run away somewhere else.
Yeah.
And because I think a lot of their future hinges on Michkov.
Yeah, okay. I guess I see what you mean. But at the same time, it's like, that's like 2 or 3 years away. Like,
yeah. I'm just saying big picture, though. Like, that's where little things like this, big problems don't just start as big problems.
Sure.
It starts with a small crack or a small chip that turns into a big crack that turns into a lot of fractured ice around. Mm. And everything is just dissolving around everything, and it sucks.
Mm.
So that's why I'm just saying it's all about management.
Sure.
It's all about managing these situations. And I think that is going to be just as key for Tortorella as it is Flyers management.
Yep. All right, we're going to start with the rapid fire here. And speaking of, we're going to do some updates on the playoff race from last week. So we're going to start off with the Eastern Conference. Nothing really changed other than Boston and Florida are tied now for 97 points. And I guess also Colorado and Dallas have 97 points. The Rangers, if the season were to end today, the Rangers would have the President's Trophy, though, because they have 98 points. But a lot of teams have 97 points. Anyways, the Capitals and the Lightning are in the wild card spot. That was the same as last time that we spoke. But Detroit is 1 point behind Washington, and New York, the Islanders, are 4 points behind. And then on the west side, it's kind of in hand, basically. Vegas and Nashville have the two wild card spots here. But Vegas has 83 points. The next closest team to that second wildcard spot is St. Louis, and they have 79 points. It would be hysterical if Vegas somehow doesn't make the playoffs, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, stranger things have happened. Yep. I don't know if anyone cares, but Anaheim, Chicago, San Jose, all mathematically eliminated. Sure. Arizona's 20 points behind Vegas, who holds the final wildcard spot. They have 11 games left. So they would have to win out, and everyone else would have to lose just to make it in. So mm-hmm. they're probably going to be mathematically eliminated at some point sure. this week. So that leaves St. Louis, Minnesota, Calgary, and Seattle as basically the teams on the outside looking in. St. Louis, as you mentioned, being the closest to Vegas. And they're only 4 points back, although they've played one more game than Vegas has. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Vegas, that's St. Louis's next opponent. So that's yeah. definitely a big game. Also, Vegas's next opponent for Nashville, who I don't know if you noticed, but they're on a 17-game point streak. Man, that YouTube concert has just turned their season around.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, they shut out Florida, too.
So, you know what the crazy part is? I'm just looking at Nashville's road record. They're 22-10-3 on the season.
Yeah.
They're only 20-15-1 at home, but on the road, they're just absolute monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, if you're a first-round opponent, I don't know which I would rather face given right. what I'm seeing right now. Would you rather face Vegas's roster or Nashville on the road?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a pretty tough question.
Yeah, well, what I'm more fascinated by is the Central, because you have Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg who are just mm-hmm. fighting for that first spot. And whoever gets first spot doesn't have to play the other two in the first round.
That's true.
And it's like, I mean, yeah, as you're saying, it's like Colorado right now, as it stands, Colorado would have to play Nashville, and I wouldn't want to play Nashville right now. But I would rather play Nashville than play Winnipeg or Dallas, which is what Dallas and Winnipeg would have to do. So that,
you want to know how impressive Nashville's streak is? They're tied with the Oilers in points right now.
Yeah.
And the Oilers were, you know, dead to rights basically sure. in the first 15 to 20 games when they yeah. finally woke up. But, I mean, Nashville and Edmonton, like, offensively speaking, they're two very differently operated teams. And they have the same amount of points.
Yep, yep.
It's crazy.
Although, I guess I'm looking here, it seems like Winnipeg has kind of fallen out. But, like, as we were talking about last week, how it was basically tied between Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg. But now it's just a two-team race with Colorado and Dallas eking it out. For the last couple of games. Okay, so we did a playoff race. Also wanted to mention Nikita Kucherov, shout out him. He had 16 points in his last four games. He had one game where he had four assists, and he had one game where he had three assists. So that's where a lot of his points came from. But yeah, it's incredible. We're not even really talking. It feels like, you know, Kucherov is an elite player, but we don't really talk about him a ton. He is in the points lead right now, ahead of Nathan MacKinnon. So there's that. But yeah, it doesn't feel like we talk about him a ton. He didn't have a point last night against Anaheim. But yeah, he had 4 points, a 4 assists against San Jose, 3 assists against Vegas, a goal... and a goal and 3 assists against Vegas. Sorry. And then he had a goal and an assist against Florida. He also had a goal and 4 assists against the Rangers as well. So yeah, he's like on a, he's on a, like a 13, like a 20 game point streak, basically. Yeah, I'm like looking here. I think he ended his point streak last night, but he was on a significant point streak now that I'm looking at his game
logs.
Ended
at the hands of the Ducks, which explain that to me.
He's had a point from January 21st against the Red Wings, so that's 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8 9 10 11 12 13 14 15 16 17 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. 25 games where he had a point. So, although I think one of those games was in the All-Star game. So, yeah. So, 24-point game point streak. Good for him. I just wanted to shout him out because we don't really talk about that. And then Tom Wilson, he's getting suspended for 6 games. For swinging his stick at Noah Gregor, who's on the Maple Leafs. Yeah, this is like his 4th suspension in his career. But yeah, of course, as we have mentioned, the Capitals are vying for that last playoff spot. So they could use a Tom Wilson now, but it doesn't look like... I mean, they did win last night. It does seem like Ovechkin is finally heating up, though. He has 20 goals now. I remember there was like someone had tweeted out that like Ovechkin, it's like the middle of March, are we really celebrating Ovechkin getting 20 goals? And it's just like, well, yeah, he's had 20 goals for his entire 19 season career. You know, he's like, this isn't
late season heater. He could get 30 again.
Yeah. That's true too. He's like, he's now finally figuring it out.
And again, the chase for Gretzky is alive again.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that. So,
the other thing I wanted to point out about Wilson's suspension, how important it is, because I didn't even realize Washington was that close to a playoff spot. And now they're in a playoff spot. They're only a point ahead of the Red Wings, as you mentioned, 3 ahead of the Islanders, 4 ahead of, or 5 ahead of the Devils. But they have 194 goals. The reason I say that is there's only a handful of teams in the entire NHL that don't even have 200 goals yet. Montreal, which has the same amount as the Capitals, like dead set, 194. Then you go to the West, where you find Seattle at 185, Anaheim at 177, Chicago at 157, and San Jose at 155. Washington doesn't have 200 goals for in the year, and they're in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
They're the only team in that situation in a playoff spot. And their next game is against Detroit. So, like, they're losing Tom Wilson for a valuable part of the stretch where they need points.
Yeah. Although I'm, like, looking at their stats here, it's like Dylan Strome is their second leader. Of course, Ovechkin leads the team in points with 58 points. But Dylan Strome...
Yeah.
Dylan Strome...
He's an assist getter now.
Yeah, I guess so. Dylan Strome also has 58 points. And then John Carlson has 43 points. But yeah, Tom Wilson has 32 points. So it's not like he's doing so hot, doing so well. But yeah, I mean, obviously, as we know his style of play, he's like that enforcer. He kind of gets in the opponent's face and all that. So that's certainly going to be a miss for them. I also, while we're still talking about the Capitals, I saw that TJ Oshie, he played in his 1,000th career game. It feels like a lot of players are playing their 1,000th career game.
Yeah.
But it's impressive for TJ Oshie because he usually gets injured every few times. So I didn't even know that he was even close to getting 1,000 games because it feels like he's always injured. But yeah, good for him as well. I forget if we mentioned it, but JVR, James Van Riemsdyk, also had 1,000 games a couple weeks ago as well. You had mentioned that. And then lastly, on our rapid fire, we have Amazon is doing this documentary next year where they're spotlighting a lot of the top players. I think they're going to choose 12. They did this for F1. They also did this, I think Netflix did something similar to, like, they try to cover, like, tennis stars.
I know there was this thing called Quarterback where they followed 3 yep. NFL quarterbacks, which yep. A lot of people were talking about heading into right. last year's NFL season, which
but
I found was pretty
this
neat.
Was this is like the same, like, I just remember that F1 has gained a ton of popularity because of that documentary that they're doing where they cover a lot of the different drivers and things like that. So yeah, this could be really cool. Especially since I feel like NHL has like a personality problem where they don't necessarily market their players in the best way. You know, like I feel like McDavid, for instance, like, yeah, he has, for years, it feels like, or ever since he's been in the league, it seems like he hasn't been, he's kind of has like a dull personality. However, like, he's made some comments in the past couple of months where it feels like, oh, he has some opinions. Oh, he could be an interesting guy to follow around. So I would imagine, you know, hopefully all the top players are like, you know, your McKinnons, your Matthews, your McDavids, your Pasternaks, all give Amazon access. We'll see who it could be, but yeah, I'm hoping like even like someone like Connor Bedard, Jason Robertson, even like someone who's like not even that well known in the hockey world. Like, you know, of course it would be cool to see
Tage Thompson could be another one. Thompson
would be fun. Any Matthew or Brady Tkachuk, Quinn or Jack.
Yeah, do
Hughes.
Both of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, get at least one of the two popular brother tandems, whether it's Tkachuk exactly. or Quinn and Jack Hughes.
Even like someone like Sebastian Aho would be kind of
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
So or like getting like a star player on a like a smaller market would be mm-hmm. interesting. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna get a guy like Draisaitl though, who's in a contract year. I feel like he's probably gonna want to keep things close to the vest next year, so I don't think we'll see him that much.
I don't know
unless they cover McDavid and
yeah.
just cameos every now and then.
I don't know if that's necessarily true because I feel like that's where will be the most interesting. if they do.
True, but I mean, if the player doesn't want to make it interesting, he won't talk.
Right. I guess
that's what I mean.
It all hinges on that. True, but I feel like they might.
I don't think it's a thing like Hard Knocks where it's like, no, please, we've asked everyone else and they said, no, you have to do this.
True, but...
it's like, no, I don't.
Right.
You don't own me.
You don't own my airtime. I don't know. I think, like, I could see it where maybe Gary Bettman's saying, like, hey, we kind of need this. Like...
Yeah. it's something the NHL should have tried long ago, honestly. I'm glad they're doing it.
Yeah, no, it's good. It looks like we have a minute left in our rapid fire.
Okay. Do you mind if I add something real quick?
Sure.
Okay. David Juracek, Columbus Blue Jackets, specifically Columbus Blue Jackets. Yo, get a grip. This past weekend, the Columbus AHL affiliate, Cleveland Monsters, huge part of their schedule, huge couple of games against one of the league's best teams. You need David Juracek playing in big games. I don't care where it is. You call him up on an emergency basis against the Vegas Golden Knights. You don't play him at all. And then when you send him back to the AHL, they've played all their games. Wake up. You've gotten rid of your GM. You've gotten rid of your coach before preseason has even happened. Get a grip. What's going on here? Like, left and right, you're making bad moves. Snap out of it.
Hold on. I'm looking here. Did I see? Doesn't look like David Juracek. Oh, he was called back, sent down to the minors.
Yep.
Emergency loan, though. It could have been anything, though.
I feel like they could have called up someone else on that emergency loan, in my opinion. Especially after everything he's gone through this year, given the fact that he wants out. I don't care where it is. Play him in big games. Don't just yammer him around and he gets to play in no big games. Like, get him to play somewhere.
Well, when you say big games, it's like Columbus is eliminated from the playoffs there now.
Yeah, so put him in the AHL.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's what they're
make
doing.
Make him feel good about what he's doing.
That's what they're doing.
Instead of just giving him, like, a global tour and he doesn't play a second for anyone.
Right, but that's what they're doing.
It's
terrible. He's
it's
playing.
It's just terrible asset management, in my opinion. And it's the crux of, you know, why Columbus is where they are right now.
But are you surprised?
No, but I'm disappointed.
Okay.
And if like, I'm a Columbus Blue Jackets fan, you're darn right I'm disappointed. I'm pissed.
We heard about this, like, you know, last year, so that's what I mean.
We have, but the fact that it's still happening and Yarmo's no longer the GM.
Yep.
Yeah, it just goes to show you that bigger things are still happening. Like, this shouldn't be happening, and it is.
Yep. All right, that about does it here for us on Lace 'Em Up. You can follow us on Lace Up Podcast on Twitter. Our Facebook is Lace 'Em Up. That's about it. I'm Brett Duboff.
I'm Steve Ellsworth. We'll chat again in episode 406 of the Lace 'Em Up Podcast.